This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy or forward it if helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
Good morning, everybody. My name is David, and you're very welcome here, especially if you're a guest or this is your first time. And if it's been a challenge for you to cross the threshold of a church, well done, and particularly you're welcome here. And our prayer is that you will meet with God today. I feel that God is going to release something new in our church today and in you if you're here, if you're open to this. I think he will release a heart of compassion in you, which maybe you've not known before. There's been a theme in our church for a long time to do with families and children, and we're putting a label on it today, and we're going to spend the rest of the morning thinking about this particular thing. The label we're putting on it is Family for the Lonely. It's an important part of who we are and where we think God is taking us. So I'd like to hand over to Liz. Liz is our assistant pastor looking after children, young people, and the students, and she's going to guide us through the rest of this morning with help from others. Liz.
Okay, it's really great to see so many of you here. We're really excited about this morning because we just know God's got something special for each of you, but what that looks like, who can tell? So we are looking at adopting and fostering this morning and how you can be involved in that, whether it's in a big way or a small way. And those of us that are involved this morning have a real passion to see children and young people really being cared for. There are so many children and young people displaced in the nations today, either through war or through family circumstances. And we feel as the church that we have an answer or part of the answer to that problem, and that God is really deeply, deeply moved by children who are needy. And he hears their cries. So I'm going to hand over to Elaine and Naomi. And if you can come up, ladies. Elaine runs the Child Contact Centre for the Vine, and Naomi regularly volunteers. We're going to show you a short video about the work of the Contact Centre, and then they're going to tell you a little bit more about what they do. It's an incredible service that they provide. Right, we've managed to sort out our technical difficulties, so if you could just watch this, please.
Hi there, I'm Elaine Sadler and I manage the Child Contact Centre. And the Child Contact Centre is provisionally for parents who have split up, separated and can't see the children as much as they want to. So dads or mums will spend a couple of hours every fortnight with their children. It's a lovely thing to see. We're part of the Vine, which is the Leeds Community Development, and the actual sessions run with two fabulous teams of volunteers. And I'd like to introduce Naomi Tia, who's been volunteering for 18 months, a couple of years. So, Naomi, can I just ask, why do you volunteer at the Child Contact Centre?
Well, first of all, it's just one of the most amazing things that I've seen, these families coming together who haven't had a chance to see each other sometimes for a really long time. And I feel that I've been really blessed with family in my life, so it's great to give something back and just be a part of these relationships being restored again. It's really exciting to watch and a real privilege.
Okay, thanks for that. And what have you seen in particular?
Well, every week there's probably maybe on average 10 to 12 families that come. And one that sticks in mind was from when I was there last month. There was a dad that hadn't actually met one of his babies, and the two-year-old he hadn't seen for a year. And it was just fantastic when they all came together and had such a great morning, and just watching those relationships coming back together, it was just really moving.
Really welcome the presence of God here. And I really want to introduce you to Tim, who is going to be speaking to us today. And Tim and his wife Naomi actually do supported lodging. They're a good authority on what it means to care for vulnerable children and young people. So I'll just pray for you, Tim, before you. So Holy Spirit, come. I know that you have given an incredible word to share with us today through Tim, and I pray that you give him clarity, and that all of your words that you want to speak to people today will rest and take root and give Tim that authority as he speaks, Jesus, and bless us through him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Liz. Before I start, we're just going to take a couple of minutes just to watch a short video. So fingers crossed on the AV, and we'll see if it works.
My name's Chris Kandaya, and I'm the director and founder of Home for Good. I'm here in Lebanon, listening to the stories of refugee people and how they've had to leave their homes in Syria, not wanting to come to another country, wanting just to find safety and security and sanctuary for their families. I've been hearing about the effects of poverty, that families are so poor they can't afford to get the operations that their children need, and so therefore they've got themselves into debt. I'm hearing about mums who are weeping for their children because they'd love to go to school, but it's not possible for them to be there. I've been speaking to sisters who are nervous about the safety of their brothers who are working for the army and have no way of escaping that. I'm hearing about a people that feel displaced and dispossessed. They don't feel welcome here. They feel that they're intruding on someone else's hospitality, and yet they can't go home. And so they're kind of trapped between a rock and a hard place. I'm hearing about needy children who aren't secure, who are living in dangerous situations and in need of love and compassion. And I'm angry. I'm angry that for many parts of the world, these refugees are being shunned, they're being called a migrant swarm, as if they're not valuable, they're not worth anything. And I know that God feels very differently about them. I know that each person I've met today has been made in God's image, no matter what their ethnicity, whatever their background, whatever their status. We're here on the border with Syria itself. Just 5 kilometres behind me over those mountains is Syria, and it's impossible for us to go there because it's too dangerous. These Syrian refugees fleeing from their lives are asking for our help, and they're asking for our compassion. And so I would ask that you join me in a prayer. I've been able to sit with families and just praying for them as they sat there wondering about their futures, wondering if there's any hope. And as I prayed, this prayer from St. Francis really inspired me. And it's a dangerous prayer to pray because it might stir your heart, not just to kind words or sentiments towards the refugees, but actually to real deep action. So if you're willing, please would you join this prayer with me? May God bless you with a restless discomfort about easy answers, half-truths and superficial relationships, so that you may seek truth boldly and love deep within your heart. May God bless you with holy anger at injustice, oppression, and exploitation of people, so that you may tirelessly work for justice, freedom, and peace among all peoples. And may God bless you with the gift of tears to shed for those who suffer from pain, rejection, starvation, or the loss of all that they cherish, so that you may reach out your hand to comfort them and transform their pain into joy. And may God bless you with enough foolishness to believe that you really can make a difference in this world, so that you are able, with God's grace, to do what others claim cannot be done. Amen.
Great stuff. We're going to come back to that a little bit later on and see how that fits in So this morning we're going to spend about the next 15, 20 minutes exploring this whole topic of fostering adoption. And we're going to do that by in two ways. We're going to first look at the relationship between worship and justice and then see how that compels us to think about fostering adoption. But before we jump into the Bible, I want to tell you a story. Now, a fair few years ago, before we had our own children, my wife and I cycled the length of South America on a tandem. And I want to tell you about a story that happened in Colombia. And by this point in our journey, we've been up and down a fair few Andes, and we were getting towards the end of our journey. And most of the roads we cycled on looked a little bit like this. So, if you can see this one. They were quite steep, pretty humid, because we're on the edge of the Amazon basin. And on this day, we sat out as usual, and we planned to stop for lunch and load up with supplies. But on this occasion, Colombian transport planners seem to have a different view of the world in terms of what an acceptable gradient seems to be. So by mid-morning, we were in trouble. We'd run out of food and water, and it was becoming clear that we weren't going to get to where we needed to by lunchtime. And Nade'd been doing what she'd been doing best for the last 5 months and was peddling and praying like Billy Ho. And she said this. She said, "Right, God, we really need 2 bananas and 2 bottles of water." Kept on peddling. And lo and behold, a car pulls up next to us, and out of the window came 2 bottles of water and 2 bananas. So God's got our back wherever we are on our journey. And to be fair, this completely blags my head and still blows me away today. But why should God care about me when I've gone and put myself in such a ludicrously risky situation? I'm going to refer back to this rather self-promoting story later on and see what relevance it's got to fostering adoption. But before I do that, I want to look at God's criteria for worship. And we're going to do that by turning to 1 Isaiah. So if you've got a Bible, now would be a good time to get it out. If you've not, if you stick your hand up, the welcome team will give you one of these. By the way, if you've not got a Bible, these are free to take away if you want. If you want to make a donation, you can do that on your way out. So we're going to look at Isaiah chapter 1. In those pew Bibles, I think it's on page 511, if you want to turn to that with me. So in this passage, God's talking to his people, Israel. And just before we start reading this, this should come with some sort of warning, I think. It's one of those passages, when I read it, I was like, oh, can't go on reading that one, can I? So if it's all right, let's see what it says. So Isaiah chapter 1, verses 10 to 15 says this. "Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the instruction of our people, you people of Gomorrah. The multitude of your sacrifices, what are they to me, says the Lord? I have more than enough burnt offerings and rams of fattened lambs. I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. When you come before me, who has asked this of you? This trampling of my courts, stop bringing me meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. New moons, Sabbaths and convocations, I cannot bear your worthless assemblies. Your new moon feasts and your appointed festivals, I hate with all my being. They have become a burden to me. I'm weary of bearing them. You spread your hands out in prayer and I hide my eyes from you. Even when you offer many prayers, I am not listening. Your hands are full of blood." Now, I'm no marketing expert, but if you read verse 13, it's probably not going to make it into this year's Christmas card. Can you imagine? I cannot bear your worthless assemblies or evil assemblies. Happy Christmas. It's not going to do it. So why is God so angry with his people? After all, he invented prayer and he invented worship and he invented sacrificing. So why is God saying, stop meeting, stop worshipping, stop sacrificing? If we flick over and read on to verses 16 and 17, it says this. "Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. And take up the cause of the fatherless and plead the case of the widow." So what's God saying here in Isaiah chapter 1? If you care about worship, you should worship by caring. So your worship may sound amazing and everyone's giving it the beans and all that, but you haven't actually helped anyone. Therefore, your worship is nothing to me. When I first read this verse, I thought, it's all right, it's in the Old Testament. There's some pretty crazy stuff in there that you can read out of context. But then I turned to the New Testament. The words for this will come up on the screen. In James chapter 1, verse 27, it says this. "Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this. To look after the orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. the more I read the Bible, the more I hear God's clear message that says, if you care about worship, you should worship by caring. We are called to live out the characteristics of the kingdom of God in society as part of our participation in God's mission. These verses highlight that God's heart is for the most vulnerable. And in the Bible, there's at least 40 times where it specifically refers to God's concern for the orphans or the fatherless. That's more than the number of times it refers to tithing or communion. And children in our care system have got to be some of the most vulnerable in society. The statistics show it. 70% of male inmates in our society are under the age of 25, aged out of the care system. And in some areas, 70% of sex workers also aged out of the care system. Here in Leeds, there's almost 1,000 young people in care. There's going to be 70 unaccompanied asylum seekers coming to our city before the end of this year. I could go on here with a whole host of shocking stats about the less favourable life outcomes of those in the care system. I'm not going to do that. Suffice to say, it's not good. And there are some incredible ministries that work with these adults in prisons and on the streets of Leeds. But wouldn't it be great to intervene earlier? And this is one of the reasons why I love the work of the Child Contact Centre. It's great that it's providing a way of reconciling families and enabling the absent parent to spend time with their children. So my wife and I provide supported lodgings for young people transitioning out of the care system. And 10 years ago, we had our first placement. It was a young man who was 17 years old. He came to us from Wetherby Young Offenders Institute. And one evening, I was sat in the car outside Jimmy's waiting to pick Nay up from work. And we're having this conversation. I don't exactly remember what we were talking about, but what I do remember is in a typical teenage boy way, he kind of turned his back to him and said, "You don't care anyway." I said, "What do you mean I don't care?" And then he said this, and it will stay with me forever. He said, "You are paid to care." This young man was 17 years old and felt as though he'd never been loved by anyone. When I was writing this talk, I was really reminded of that song that we often sing, with that line that says, it's who I am, I'm loved by you. A few weeks ago, we looked at Romans, and how as Christians we are loved and saved and adopted into God's family. And as the church, we must acknowledge and affirm that, as it says in Psalm 68, God will set the lonely in families. And therefore, this will cause some families to foster and adopt. But it's not only God that expects this of us. Society does too. Leeds City Council are going out across Leeds to faith groups to recruit foster carers because they've proven to be really safe and loving homes. So a commitment to fostering adoption is in the very essence of what it means to be church. It reflects who God is and the story into which he has called us. A commitment to justice and peace that marks our mission and our identity as adopted children of God. So a commitment to supporting fostering adoption makes sense of who we are, where we've come from, and to whom we belong. Now, this sounds all a bit preachy, doesn't it? And a bit challenging and perhaps inspirational and that. But there is a reality check that's needed here. This is not easy and cannot be done on our own. When I speak to my work colleagues about what we do, I consistently get the same message. I could never do that. And truth be told, neither could I. I haven't got the patience or the compassion, and quite frankly, I'm not strong enough to do it again and again. I'm too selfish. David spoke a few weeks ago about how we are flesh and bones and that we need to be filled with his spirit, and without his spirit, we can do nothing. I want to be really real about this stuff, and it is hard, and it's going to need a proper team effort to support the families that do this stuff. And it does look different for different people. And so I just wanted us to hear how this is playing out in one of the many ways that this is playing out in our church. So I want to ask Ian if you can come up and just grab the mic. So Ian, you provide supported lodgings for unaccompanied asylum seekers. You've got 6 children of your own. So what does this whole being a father to the fatherless thing mean to you?
Yeah, so before I met Liz and before I met Jesus, I was married. I had 2 sons, and then my marriage broke down. We divorced. I met Liz, but I could never be the father I wanted to be to my 2 sons from that first marriage. So I felt quite a lot of frustration in that. after I met Liz, we had our daughters, and then I found Jesus. And after finding Jesus, I started to find myself being drawn towards the plight of orphans quite a lot in Africa, and due to hearing a lot about the AIDS epidemic and children, thousands of children being left without parents at all and no family to turn to. And I felt really drawn to, I wanted to go out there and just do something to help these kids. But I really felt God say to me, it's not your time, you've got a young family at home, you've also got your boys, you need to stay here. So I was looking for what I could do. We started to sponsor a young boy who was in Kenya through the Compassion project. But I still didn't feel like it was enough. And then Liz got a job working for a charity called the Lighthouse Group, who work with young people who are being kicked out of the normal education system, are finding it hard to access the normal education system for whatever reason. And she came home and she started telling me most of these kids had come through the care system, and most of these kids had been looked after by carers, who'd also been looked after by carers, so they'd never had an experience of a real family and a real parenting. It was all, they were all just left to really get on by themselves, and it really turned both mine and Liz's heart to do something for these young people who had no families.
So you started to look into this, and just think back to when you started to apply and all that sort of process. You know, did you think you could do it? What was your thoughts at the time?
Yeah. Well, we had at one time, because we were renting a house that had a spare room, so we did have a student lodger at one time. So I felt like I did know what it would feel like to have somebody who's not from your family living in our home. But I really didn't go into it with too tinted a rosy glasses sort of thing. I was aware there would be problems and issues. But I just wanted to have that opportunity to try and be a father to somebody, you know, that didn't have a father.
Brilliant. Thanks very much. Can you just stay up here for a second? Yeah. So we're going to... I just want to go back to that self-promoting story I told at the beginning of today about where we were in Colombia and see how this relates. So in that story, there were a number of people playing their part. So we were on a journey, and at this point, we were on a pretty steep slope in a pretty rough place. And we were following the route that God had mapped out for us and praying like crazy. And then there was this Colombian dude who had taken the time and effort to carry two bananas and water in his car and was looking out for who to give it to. I feel that this morning, this may stir people to action and will call some people to foster and adopt. And this is not a decision to be taken lightly. And it's not like the movies, and it will be a tough journey. But like in that road in Colombia, they will also require some of us to come alongside and support these families in prayer and making space in our lives to support in often really practical ways. So I don't know where you are at in your journey with God, but wherever you are, you've got a choice. Are you going to start out on a journey that you don't quite know how high or steep that mountain might be, but you trust in God that he's got your back? Not relying on your own well-planned ride to the finish. Or are you going to intentionally carry two bananas and two bottles of water with you and look out for people on your journey that God may prompt you to support? Or are you going to pedal and pray like crazy? These guys are just going off to their worship session, which is going to be awesome. They're not evacuating. It's all good. Or are you going to pedal and pray like crazy and carry on pedaling even when it gets really tough? Can I ask you this morning, is it time to rethink your priorities? So as we've read in Isaiah and in James, if we care about worship, we should worship by caring. And the church would be a really dull place, and so would the world, if we all followed the same path. But thankfully, God has intentionally created us for each for our own purpose, to run our race, and therefore this will be different from person to person and family to family. But we each have a responsibility to respond in whichever way it is that God is laying on our hearts. Now, you may have noticed that there's some balloons around the balcony here. It's not because the Methodists have been having a party. These are a representation. So if you're underneath the balcony, you might not be able to see. There's some above you as well. So, now, the red balloons around this side represent the 70 young asylum seekers that will be coming to Leeds between now and Christmas. And the blue balloons on this side represent the number of 10 to 18-year-olds that are placed every 2 weeks in Leeds. Now, how incredible would it be for all of these young children and young people to find a home? We're going to take a moment to respond to what God's been saying this morning. So to do that, can I invite you to just stand with me? We started a few minutes ago by watching a video with that guy, Krish Kandaya, talking about what's going on in Libya and Syria. But the prayer that you prayed at the end, I'd like to pray over us now. And if you feel comfortable, you could put your hands out like this as though you're receiving a gift. And I'll just pray this over us, and then I'm going to hand back to Liz. So may God bless you with a restless discomfort about easy answers, half-truths and superficial relationships, so that you may seek truth boldly and love deep within your heart. And may God bless you with holy anger, injustice, oppression and exploitation of people, so that you may tirelessly work for justice, freedom and peace among all people. And may God bless you with a gift of tears to shed for those who suffer from pain, rejection, starvation or loss of all that they cherish, so that you may reach out your hand to comfort them and transform their pain into joy. And may God bless you with enough foolishness to believe that you really can make a difference in this world, so that you are able, with God's grace, to do what others claim cannot be done. Amen.
Thanks, Tim. That's great. You'll see on the screen, there's different ways you can respond to this. One could be that you're starting on a journey to foster or adopt. I'd like to say, for me and Ian, that was a 9-year journey from first feeling we had to do something and react and respond to actually having a young man come and live with our family. It may be that God is calling you to intercede, to really pray for these children. And in a while, we'll get the young people to bring the balloons down. And by taking a balloon, you are committing to be part of the solution, whether that's praying or actually getting involved. Another way to get involved is to give. Perhaps you could support a charity supporting displaced children, orphans, refugees, children needing medical aid. Or you can volunteer, the contact centre being a great place initially, but there's other agencies and things you can do as well. So what I think we're all agreed on is that actually there's not the option of pretending you haven't heard or seen. So I really want to invite you to think about what is it that God is asking you to do. I was reminded of a story that I heard. A 21-year-old gave a testimony at Soul Survivor. She had been called to adopt children at 12. So if you're young or unmarried or think that this isn't for you, her journey was that she had to then invest because she knew God had called her to do it. She spent the next few years finding out what that looked like, what she could do, preparing herself, finding out about child development, what it would mean to adopt a child. She was adopting her first child at 21. In a minute, I'm going to ask some of you to come forward. For some of you, you've been through this system. You were the child in care or weren't able to see a parent. You were separated from a parent. And God really wants to bless you this morning and remind you that you are loved and you have found family in his kingdom. And for some of you, it's actually going to be a bold step and say, I'm up for this. I don't know how. I don't know what it will look like, but I know I've got to do it. And I don't know how long it will be till I get there, but I'm going to say yes. And for some of you, you don't even know what it is, but you just feel a tug on your heart that you've got to respond this morning. So I'm just going to invite you, Ian and Tim, myself, will be available, and any of your house group leader here, just come and pray. So if that's you, if you'd just like to make your way forward, that'd be great. Bless what you're doing, Lord. there is some information on the table to the left here. So if you want to find out more or contact numbers of people you can get to, please take a look. I'll be sending out some information down the pews in a minute. There's a bookmark to take away with you with a prayer on the back from Home for Good. There's also a leaflet of all the different ways you could potentially get involved with this. So this is as formal an ending as we're going to have. If the children should be finishing their worship about 15:15, so we've got a little bit of time. We've got 5 minutes or so. But if you could just come pray. There's a lot of people responding here. Lord, we bless what you're doing. Okay, so we're really excited by this. This is people who have just felt a nudge by God this morning to get involved in some way that they probably don't even know fully what that looks like right now. And people from within the church are coming to pray for them, to just bless what God's doing in their lives. It's not too late. If you're sat there and wishing you'd come up, feel free to make your way to the front now. So if everybody could just stand for now, we're just going to finish with a prayer. Jesus, we thank you that you see every unaccompanied young person across the nations. You see their travel, their journey. You see every young person in care, every young person who's been separated from their parents. And we know you love them and you care for them. So Jesus, open our eyes to see them and show us how we can love them and be part of your solution for them. Amen. So the young people are just going to head up to the balcony and start bringing balloons down. So please don't leave without taking a balloon. Thank you for coming to the Vineyard today. I hope to see you next week.